I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that's here to update you on all the gay happenings in the U.S. and around the globe. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. We recorded this episode a few weeks ago before all of the chaos that is all of the cancellations of our favorite shows happened. So we just want to talk a little bit about that at the top of this episode, because this whole episode is us talking about those shows.
We should preface. Yeah, we wanted to preface the episode because we still want to release it, because we have
we still have feelings. Yeah.
About these shows. But we also want to explain why so many times in this episode we're going to be saying, like, well, in next season of The Wilds, which of course now
it's not happening.
We know is not happening. So listen, nobody is pleased about this.
No. I also would just like to say, I think I saw this. Any of you who are out there who are super pissed off, you should be. I'm pissed off. We're all pissed off.
I've been screaming for a week straight.
Yeah. I mean, so Netflix canceled First Kill. Amazon canceled The Wilds. Gentleman Jack's not getting another season. Like, a million different lesbian, Batwoman. A million different shows that have incredible queer representation, and also, very importantly, queer women of color representation have gotten canceled. And it's horrible. We're here for you. We still want to have this episode where we talk about all the things that we loved about those shows, because we still love them. We still love them. So we're going to talk
Big
about
sigh.
This. Huge sigh. I also saw this tweet from Valerie Ann from Autostraddle that said that we should start talking about cancellations as a new form of barrier gaze. And I'm very much here for that, because I think canceling these shows is another form of trauma for us. So thank you for that. Netflix, all of these other
Amazon
streaming services. You're really doing us doing a great job. I also would like to say, sorry, I know this is a long intro, but I have thoughts.
Welcome to season six.
Welcome. I also saw on Twitter, people were like, let's start a streaming service only for women. And I just want to mention that there already are a bunch of streaming services that are doing a really good job of this. And so we should be supporting them. Lesflix is doing it. Reverie TV is doing it incredibly. They have all kinds of shows on there. And the best way for us to get them to be able to produce the kind of shows that streaming services like Netflix and Amazon can create is to spend money on them.
There's also Amanda Holland started Fruity Productions, which is trying to do merch sales to help fund queer media that they want to produce and also is providing a space for filming. So yeah, I mean, there are options. Obviously, listen, it is hard, and it is hard because we certainly know how hard it is as queer content creators out there to fund these projects. It's difficult. So we're not thrilled, but we do have lots of thoughts that we want you to hear in this episode, and we will probably be coming right back around to this topic some other time soon
This
season to unpack some more of our thoughts on things.
Until then, here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We are very, very excited because the countdown is on to The Flame live at 54 Below September 15th. You can get your tickets online. We have the cast stacked and ready to go.
It's
bonkers.
So good.
Jen Colella will be playing Joe again,
You can't see me because I don't want to clap too loudly into my mic, but I'm clapping a lot. Like, I'm clapping for everyone. I'm just going to keep it going the whole time.
If for nothing else, like, you need to come to the show to see Jen live singing Car Ride from Hell with Lee and Valerie, because need to see that.
And you need to come watch Ellie and I sing to each other about what best friends we are.
Yes, Lee and I will be reprising our roles as Jamie and Heather. We have Mackenzie Dade playing Rachel. We have Tiffany Francis as Sam, and JJ Neiman will be playing Harold. We only have left to cast the narrator, but we have a pretty stacked cast already, and we are so excited.
Very, very excited. We are also excited because we are kicking off season six with some extra special episodes for our Patreon supporters. So if you want to check out our bonus Patreon episodes, our first one comes out today. And if you've ever wanted to hear Ellie and I scream at each other about how much we hate kissing Jessica Stein for approximately 90 minutes straight,
get ready.
Now's your chance. Join our Patreon today. You can find it at bit.ly/lespatreon, and you get those episodes for as little as $2 a month. So
I am so excited about those episodes too. They're going to be a blast. In the greater Les universe, our Twitter has been such a fun place. I just feel like Twitter in general, there's chaos, there's hilarity. There's a tweet that Lee sent over to me that states, from Dolly Parton, we have spoken about Dolly in a few episodes. It says, it's hard to top a friend like Cher.
Listen, I just want you to know the lesbians reacted exactly like you would have hoped that they would in such a situation.
Exactly.
The comments on that post were everything I dreamed of and more. That's all I'm saying.
The question is, like, do we think these are two tops fighting against each other? Or like Dolly's just like, it's hard to top Cher, and like, I don't need, like, I'm power bottoming this.
You know, I guess the world will just have to wait to find out, Ellie. I don't have those answers for you.
We just know it's hard to top her.
What I do know is that also Netflix is going to be making more Fear Street movies. And if you haven't heard me yell about the Fear Street movies in a while, don't worry. I'm still here. I'm still in love with them. I have not seen any confirmation yet about whether they will be gay AF.
They better be.
So Netflix,
Please.
You got some making up to do. That's
you
all
really do. That leads us to our next thing, which is the hashtag cancel Netflix was trending. And I understand why, because they canceled First Kill and they've been canceling so much of our shit. So if you want to cancel your Netflix subscription and subscribe to some of those other streaming services we mentioned at the top of the episode, please.
We support you.
We support you. And we'll figure out a way to get you to watch Fear Street at some point. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. And we are so excited, beyond excited, could not be more excited to bring you our very first episode of season 6, Gays of the Union.
Gays of the Union, unite.
Are we the gays of the union?
I don't know.
Are we giving the gays of the union the address?
We are giving.
How does it work?
I think we're giving the gays of the union the address, right?
Okay.
Everyone listening are the gays of the union.
Are the gays of the union?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought.
Something
either
like
way.
That.
Either way, we are here to debrief on the previous year and all of the television that existed, and we're going to talk about it because there was a lot of shit that came out last year.
I feel like we're spending so much time trying to find a fancy punny way to be like, we're going to talk gay shit at you. Of course we're going to talk gay shit at you. Why are we, what are we pretending we're going to do anything else?
Why do we have
this
show?
We're kicking off a season. Let's talk about all the gay shit that's been happening, okay?
Here we go.
That's it.
And I'm sure we've talked about some of these over the season, and hopefully we will still be talking about more of these in the upcoming season.
Yeah, but we're coming at your recap style now. That's
Let's
all.
Let's do it.
We're going to hit some of the big ones because you know how this, everyone, listen, we're 6 seasons in. If you don't know how this works, then like, welcome, you must be new here. What a joy to have you.
Welcome.
and if you have been here for a while, then you understand we have some already coming up episodes dedicated to like in-depth get into some of these things. But otherwise, like sometimes we don't manage to get to everything on a full episode, so we just want to make sure we're covering all of the stuff. That's all. We want to cover all the stuff.
Exactly. So
all at once and not have to like have coherent thoughts and like a topic. So we're just going to yell about things.
The first one that I want to talk about is one that we've mentioned before in other episodes, but I really want to talk about First Kill, Lee.
I mean, you know I do too.
So First Kill came out at the end of season 5, right?
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but like I binged the shit out of that show.
Like, oh yeah,
we watched it in
for
like
sure.
2 nights, probably.
Okay, well, it took me a little longer than that, but still, very quick.
So
to get
bingeable. We talked about this a little bit during the crush episode, but let's just talk about first of all the premise. Before the show even came out, everyone knew the lesbians were gonna freaking love it because lesbians love vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Like we love a vampire. Also.
And we love a vampire hunter. I mean, like we have strong Buffy roots. Don't doubt us,
right? So I'm like, this is literally Buffy and Angel.
Yes,
but very different.
But somehow less high schoolish. Is that bad? Is that a bad thing?
You think like that somehow First Kill's less high school than Buffy
I
and Angel?
I think so. Yeah,
because of the sex scenes. That's what you're.
I wasn't actually going there, but you're not wrong.
But that's
like you're not wrong
because I feel like it's a very high school show. What do you mean? Like they're so like stupid and
I
stupid
think
in their
I mean,
love.
I feel like Angel was more of a high school girl than either of these high school girls are.
Okay, that is valid,
right?
Yes.
Like, tell me that you can't picture Angel sitting like underneath the gym bleachers with like a diary being like, I just had a lot of feelings about Buffy today, that you could picture Calliope doing that. Lies.
No. Yeah, lies. Yeah, yeah. No.
Angel is at home with a guitar writing songs. That's what I'm saying.
But I feel
okay?
like so Angel is Juliet, though, in this
yeah,
scenario,
that's fair.
Right?
That might
and
be fair.
Calliope is Buffy. So I think Juliet is pretty angel-like, right? Like she's so like dramatically obsessed with this girl. Like
she is.
Like it's
and he is. You're not wrong.
It has like I think that vampires always are in media, right?
But also I can't picture Juliet just being like, I'm gonna do some Tai Chi next to a roaring fire and 500 candles, right? Like
okay, yes. We're leaning a little more into like the vampires are just like us, not like
yeah.
vampires live underneath the ground in a mausoleum.
Well, and it's also okay, sorry, we're going so far too deep in this already, but you know what I do enjoy about it, even though from a premise standpoint I understand it 0%, but One of the things that they just glossed over wholeheartedly in First Kill that I'm like fascinated by are the logistics of them having children, because the whole generation, right? Like, Juliet has a family that includes like her parents and her older sister and her grandmother. Yes. And they're all like generationally age appropriate. And I'm like, did you make vampire babies? And is that how vampires make babies in this universe? And if not, what? Because what's really, what I love about it is it allowed them to give us two age appropriate teenagers having the relationship, and
rather than a 500-year-old
yes,
man
avoids the Buffy and Twilight issues of having like a teenage girl who's in love with a 600-year-old man who should have no interest in a 17-year-old. That always gets kind of problematic and icky, and this didn't, because you get to just be like, I guess she's also 17. Fine. Why not? Sure.
So I was under the impression that if you were a legacy vampire, you were born.
And if they never explained it, and it makes no sense.
If you were not a legacy, it would be like you were created. That's what I thought. Like, legacy vampires have to be like birthed. That's what I figured. I don't know.
I'm just trying to picture the kind of cravings you have during your pregnancy as a vampire. Anyways, we've gone, hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Hang Out.
Welcome back. Well, okay, so let's talk about a few things, though, that we like about the lesbian rep in First Kill.
The sex against a tree. Here
the sex.
Did I say that
we
already?
Know that
I've
Lee
said
loves.
That already. It's fine.
I mean, I love that, too. You already know that Juliet is a lesbian from the beginning. There's not really, like, a coming out kind of scenario. Same with Calliope. Calliope has an ex-girlfriend that comes back too, right? So it's like the lesbian aspects of it aren't the issue here. Mm-hmm, it's like our families are feuding and we can't be together, not like we're two girls and it's so hard. And I'm a fan of that.
Yes. I am a fan of that. I'm also like, I didn't know it until I saw someone did make a meme of First Kill that I've probably seen, but I hadn't super internalized it yet, of like the fell first, fell harder, right? Where they were like, Juliet fell first, like Cal fell harder. And I do love ships that you can break down into like that dynamic so readily, and I do love this about them, because the other thing that I saw was someone who was like, the first episode of First Kill is so funny when you realize that, like, when you see it from each of their perspectives, that, like, Juliet is like, I'm in a rom-com. And then Calliope is just like, gonna kill this bitch.
Yeah.
You're like, what? What is happening?
Yep.
Because she does, right? Like, she starts the whole season being like, gonna fucking kill a vampire. And then by the end of the season, she's like, I will kill a bitch who comes near you. And I'm like, I love that. Love that for them. It's cute.
I do love it for them.
I'm here for it.
I also love, I know this is not actually canon lesbian, but I love that we also have like some non-canon ships that
the
people
moms.
Are throwing
you mean
around.
You ship the moms.
Yeah,
you just mean you want to see the moms kiss on each other's faces.
Yes.
I get it.
I'm like, well, at least one of the moms is not really, you know, in a good place with her husband, so like things could happen, like you don't know.
Yeah.
Also,
there's trouble in paradise in the vampire hunting household. That's all.
This is not a lesbian thing. We said this in our crush episode, but like, I also love how bad it is.
Okay, listen. Sorry, I need to settle.
Bad
in for
is
this.
Subjective.
You know me. I need
everyone.
Get...
Please don't come for me. But you know, I love
hold
how
on.
Okay.
Ellie.
I love how
I'm
like,
taking off the,
cheesy.
I'm taking off the hoodie for this.
Oh my god, I'm ready.
The zip up hoodie is coming off so that I'm like fully. I need freedom of movement to express my feelings about this. Okay, listen, listen. Oh no, I'm caught in my wires. Hold on. Okay, we're ready
now.
Now, listen, everybody. Here's the thing. As somebody who has never watched. I made it, I'm going to say 20 or 30 minutes into pilot episode of Riverdale before giving up on it, okay? Don't come for me. It just, there was a lot of shirtless male abs happening, and I was like, I don't know if this is the show for me. So, my point is, I've never watched the show, but I did just make it way further into, I think I made it to like season 3 or 4 of reading somebody's like Twitter thread recap of the whole series as
God,
has happened
that has to
so
be
far.
Hilarious.
It is bananas, bonkers, chaos, crazy, okay? And so here's the thing, like, here And I understand all of the people being like, oh, but it doesn't even make any sense. And like the soundtrack is chaotic. And like, what is even happening? And the special effects, all correct, all valid points. And at the end of the day, so what? So yes. What? You tell me that there are not equally insane straight shows that we just don't even pay any attention to. Nobody blinks twice at Riverdale anymore. I watched how many seasons of Pretty Little Liars back in the day? Like, listen, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's great. We deserve this. We don't get these shows. Yes. I want this. I want it. I want vampires that have to get pregnant and push tiny little baby vampires out. How does one nurse a baby vampire? Who knows? It doesn't matter.
It's not the point. A husband who eats his wife's mother and like it just happens. Like it's fine.
I want a absolutely like kludged in, half thought through Adam and Eve in the garden biblical snake reason for vampires to exist that take over your husband's body and now he's got snake eyes and it keeps eating people. That's what I want.
It's perfect.
I want that plus lesbians. That is exactly, this is the show of my dreams. That's all I'm asking for. That's all.
I agree. So if anyone hasn't seen it, start watching it. Let us know what you think.
And Netflix, season 2. Okay, listen, granted, we are recording this like a little bit ahead of the season starting, so like maybe we've gotten our renewal notice, but if we haven't yet, I am upset. That's all.
All right, let's talk a little bit. Let's switch gears into I'll just say, more well-produced show. more highbrow. Gentleman Jack, what did you think of season 2?
Talk about differing budget levels,
yeah.
Right?
What did you think of season 2 of Gentleman Jack, Lee?
Okay, listen, there are things that I love and hated about season 2 of Gentleman Jack. Number one, I just love Anne and Anne. I can't pretend that I don't. I love them. So Ellie has not watched season 2
yet. I haven't seen it,
everyone,
so I'm
just so,
sorry.
So I'm about to spoil everything for Ellie, and I apologize for
it's
none
fine.
Of it. But I think I told you already that, like, I really enjoyed, from, like, a gay perspective, I super enjoyed the shift in from season 1 to season 2, because season 1 was very, like, it's a lot of the things about period pieces that I feel like for you and I, Ellie, we, like, get tired of in period pieces, right? Where you're like, oh, the angst and
longing,
the hiding and the longing and the coming to terms with your sexuality in a world that doesn't even know how to make sense of it because it doesn't exist, right?
Yes.
And, like, that's fine. I mean, I'm not against it. I don't, like, dislike the pining angstiness, and I don't dislike the whole, like, a stolen glance, and I made you blush by touching your hand with my hand on the settee. Like, okay, fine, sure. But that's not the point. Season 2, like, comes out the gate swinging with, like, lesbian drama.
It's
just, it is bonkers. You have, like, everything, like, start to finish is just kind of being like trouble in paradise with our lesbians now, because it's like Anne and Anne are married, but Anne is sure drinking a lot and Anne is sure getting some drama from her ex, and it's just, it's,
oh god,
chaotic in the best way that just like feels very relatable to be like, hey, even in the 1830s lesbians were fucking crazy and like their drama was off the hook and it's real. I could buy that. Like, I can totally buy the letters that Mariana keeps sending to Ann Lister being like just the 1830s equivalent of being like, you up, like, and you're like,
why
happening?
Also, yeah, like, historically, do you like look into the history of anything I'm curious if that is like letters that they were playing off of.
I don't know, because if they are, these chicks were ruthless. Like, they were just unhinged. Unhinged, like, old-timey lesbians. I don't know, dude. Mariana's fucking crazy in this. She's like, I'm so sick and my whole life has lost meaning and I just don't know what to do with myself now that you have found another and I can't stop thinking about you and I'm so miserable and I might just have to kill myself. And you're like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm looking this up right now and it does say that their relationship was real, at least.
She's like the fucking psychotic ex.
Yeah.
And I kind of love it. Here's the only thing I hate about it, and I know you're gonna appreciate this with me because I know you will hate it as well. So because Mariana is so like just so despondent and so depressed and so sad and so just sick over everything, and so Anne Lister goes to visit her at her house and leaves Anne Walker at Shibden and goes to see her, and Mariana keeps like throwing herself at her mm-hmm. left and right. Right. And she's like, I can't. Like, I took a vow and like, I can't do that to Anne and all this stuff. And then the last night she's there.
She does it.
She does anyways. And damn, I don't love it. I don't love it at all. And Mariana's like fucking eating, like just eating shit the whole time. She is like so
I'm
happy.
I'm like, wait, eating what,
so, nothing. It's so, just so like over the moon. She is like, I knew you still loved me and I feel so much better. I haven't slept so well in years. And you're like, oh my God, I hate it. And I kept waiting for shit to hit the fan. Like, I kept waiting for that to come up. And they, like, totally have Anne Walker, like, reference, like, kind of knowing about it, like, throughout the season. But, like, nothing ever happens with it.
No come to Jesus moment.
And I was really disappointed because I was like, she's supposed to be, like, such a principled person. And I was pissed. So, in a general sense, like, you know me and you know I hate the, like, cheating storyline.
Yes.
I was really disappointed in that. But from the standpoint of like watching a show kind of just become like unhinged gay chaos, I was totally into it.
Also, I'm like, thing to not like, it got canceled.
Yes, but I have seen things where it's like HBO decided not to renew it. I haven't seen whether officially like BBC has decided they're not going to produce any more seasons, because I feel like it's similar to like the Wynonna Earp sci-fi thing, right? Where it's like sci-fi wasn't doing the show, but they were like funding a lot of it and showing it, right? Like, it was like airing on sci-fi, and so I don't know exactly where it leaves it, and I haven't seen anything concrete yet about like whether it is coming back or not. But listen, credit to Gentleman Jack for one thing, because one thing I will say is when you get a lot of these shows where you're just like, dude, you don't know that you're getting another season, like, please stop ending on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
What I love about Gentleman Jack is they did it with season one and they do it again in season two,
is they
that
wrap
it's like
it up.
They're Well, sort of. It's like there are a million like storyline threads that like are just left dangling, like you have no idea where they're going. But at the end of the day, it's like they end the season on this really nice, like, you know, Anne Walker like apologizing for like having doubted like their relationship together, and Anne Lister being like, it's okay, like nobody else in the world is going to want the two of us together except for the two of us, and like, as long as we believe in this, like, that's okay. And then they just, like, ride their little carriage off into the sunset together. Like, the same way they did in season one. You know,
one,
where it's like, there were a million things left hanging, but you were like, but they got married and they're walking off together being
and
married. And you're like,
fine. Yeah.
Props to you for knowing how to, like, end on a satisfying note if you're not coming back. Because, like, you could leave it there and you'll be like, but what happened with the coal pits?
Who cares? Like, who cares?
It will not keep me up at night the way that it would if it had been like, and then Anne Walker storms out of Shibden into the night. And you don't know
you
where
no
they're
clue.
Left.
Yeah,
and you're like, no, like, yeah, wrap up the important, like, foundation of your story, because then, like, whatever comes, and, like, at least we, like, have the resolution of, like, and they're happy together. And that's what
matters. That's what's important. Another period piece that came out last year, Our Flag Means Death. Did you watch this, Lee?
I still have it and I feel terrible. I need to steal some, because that's also HBO, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and I don't have HBO is the problem.
So how are
I watched
you watching Gentleman Jack on BBC?
Because I do get BBC and I recorded the whole season on my DVR. So.
Oh my God. Classic. Okay, well,
I'm a millennial, not a Gen Z, and I don't have an HBO login. Someone hook me up, okay? Please and
yes,
thank you.
Listeners, send us your passwords. Just kidding. Do not do that.
Why have we not done this before? We're six seasons in and we've never asked anyone for their passwords before.
Yeah,
oh my
what
God.
The hell?
Hook us up, listeners.
Just kidding. Please don't.
Podcasting doesn't pay. Give us your passwords.
Well, I have watched it, so I can do the same thing that you did for Gentleman Jack.
I have friends who are obsessed with it, and all I know is that I've heard so much about how fantastic Vico is in it. And
So
I love
Vico's
them so
in
much,
it, which
so
is amazing.
I know, and I do want to watch it. I can't convince Kelsey to let me get another streaming service. Right
I get it. And Vico is huge. Like, Vico is a big character in the show.
As they should be.
As they should be. They're awesome. The show is just very, very queer, which, yeah. Of course, check mark. It's like,
check.
And to be like, so Sweet Bitter season two, we did all the history of pirates. So, and it was all about like how pirates are gay, basically, right? And then this show comes out that's like, pirates are gay, right? But it's like everyone's on the ship. It's a bunch of men and non-binary people because Vico's on the ship. And they're mostly all sleeping with each other or like falling in love with each other. There's like multiple relationships with the men on board. Like multiple. So it's not just like, oh, we're a bunch of men who love women, but we're all here just us.
Yeah.
So, you know, like they don't really lean into that. They lean more into like more of even like poly type stuff too, where it's like there's these two characters who are like they get caught sleeping together and this guy tries to like blackmail them by being like, oh, well, I saw your partner was painting that other guy naked. And the other guy's like, yeah, he paints everyone on the ship naked. Like, we don't own each other. And you're just like, this is amazing.
Yes.
Like, it's so, and it's like pretty accurate to like how things probably would have been on a pirate ship, because it's like, even to like Black, there's like a whole love story between Blackbeard and Steed Bonnet, who's like, Steed is like the gentleman pirate who they're following. That's completely fabricated. Like there's no evidence that Blackbeard and Steed Bonnet had a love story together. But their love story is really sweet. And it's like, they're both figuring out like they're in love with each other by the end of it. But even that is like, Blackbeard has like an ex. Calico Jack comes on the ship and like is his ex and is like, yeah, we used to hook up. Like, Everything goes on the sea. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah. So just like,
what happens at sea stays at sea.
Yes.
Really.
Yes. But they also,
there's no laws out there.
No. And that's the awesome part about it is like, because there's no laws, of course, everyone's gay. Like, people are inherently gay and they're just like really playing with that. That just like everyone on the ship is just like, yeah, we hook up. Why not? Like, you're hot. I'm hot. I like you. Let's do it. And then there's a really sweet love story between Jim, who is played by Vico, and Vico's character also is a really interesting play on gender. I think they're non-binary on the show, but it's also like they play around with it a lot of like either Jim is a trans man or non-binary or, but like Jim comes out and is like, I'm just Jim. Like, I'm not a woman. Mm-hmm. And everyone on the ship's like, oh, cool. Right? Like, it's like, I don't know. That's one of the things I love about the show is that it treats queerness as something that's just like, okay.
Every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's no like concern about anyone accepting anyone for who they are.
Sorry, this just reminded me of something which actually is one of my, I have to jump us back to Gentleman Jack real fast. Just okay. To say this one thing, because you just reminded me of it and I can't believe that I forgot it when I was talking about the season. I got caught up in the ex drama. It's my fault. Okay, there's an episode in season two of Gentleman Jack and the episode name is called It's Not Illegal, right?
Yeah.
Which is funny because I think, isn't that like the big quote from season one when Ann Lister's in the carriage with her giant thermometer and she's like, so what if I want to travel with my thermometer? Like, it's not illegal, right? Like, isn't that one of the quotes from season one? I think
probably, yeah.
But in season two there's this whole episode because, okay, this is so unnecessary information, but the whole like through line of season two is that Anne Walker is trying to get a split of her estate with her sister, but there's all this drama because her sister's husband, who is this like smarmy Scottish dude who is absolutely the worst and is like possibly a lizard person, is
great.
Terrible. And he clearly like does not want this to happen because he had the sister sign over all of her land to him already and clearly wants to get Anne Walker's land as well when she doesn't marry. And he's like, well, everything's going to be coming to us. Like, why do we need to get lawyers involved? And he's the worst. Anyways, so he starts trying to like throw a wrench in this whole thing by claiming that like she's still not of sound mind and she's being manipulated by unnatural forces in the form of Ann Lister. And so he's basically being like, they're lesbians and therefore she can't be trusted because lesbians. And it's like he's trying to like gay panic his way into getting all of her land. And at one point he goes to talk to their lawyer and he's like trying to insinuate all of these things. And he's like, you might remember this case in Edinburgh last year about these two women.
Oh my god.
You know, and he's like, it was a big scandal and all this stuff. And the lawyer, there's this incredible scene where the lawyer like shuts him down. And he's like, actually, he's like, the case wasn't against the two women. He's like, the case was against the woman who accused them of such acts. And she lost. And he's like, and she lost and had to pay them all of these damages for impugning their honor and like besmirching their good name and all of this stuff. And he's like, and because the judge who ruled against that woman was like, you know, he's like, no crime can have been committed because he's like, A, you have no proof of any of this existing. And even if it did exist, like, were such a thing possible,
there is no
law against it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, there's no way for a crime to have been committed because even if this were like, you know, even if lesbians could exist, it's not illegal.
Not illegal.
And it was like, it was such a fucking incredible payoff where he's like, the only person who was ruined in that case was the woman making these allegations. And it was amazing. So, yeah, same thing. Like, not exactly the same idea because, of course, everyone is still like, there's what? Like, two women?
Yeah, very different. Yeah.
Some kissing like a man and a woman do when they're married. Like, it was not quite the acceptance that I think Our Flag Means Death, you know, has.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like this really, it was sort of like a nice touch for a period piece to like land this thing of like, hey, even if you did decide to go there, like, you could never win just based on this alone. Like, even if the whole season other than that is just people going like, unnatural forces. And you're like, okay.
No. Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, well, that's like the thing that I love the most about Our Flag Means Death. That's like, also like Taika Waititi, who like wrote and directed it. Like, he also worked on Thor Love and Thunder, was the director, mm-hmm. I think.
And which I'm I saw like, you just went to see, huh?
Yes. And I'm... Well, I'm loving that Taika Waititi specifically, I don't know, he's not queer, right? Or is he?
He is a question mark, I would say. I don't think that he himself has like expressly come out and claimed any sort of label. But I also feel like he talks in a way that like feels very much like he is associating himself with the queer community, I believe. So
but
I don't know. I don't know that I've seen anything concrete one way or the other.
My point is, he literally has said, this is a quote from him that says, we're all queer, just to varying degrees, right?
Like, is this a fair, I feel like he's not not queer.
He's not not queer, I agree.
Yeah, right? Does that feel right?
But I just love that he's like going out of his way to write these stories and tell these stories. And like to use that, like it was the same thing in Thor where it was like, yeah, some people are queer. And it's like, whatever, nobody cares. You know, it's like very like, it happens, it's there, it's just woven into the story. Cool. And I just like the way that he's been putting those stories out into the universe.
While we're talking about that, maybe I'll use that as a transition into, again, as of us recording this, I'm still only like a handful of episodes into the season, but I do also enjoy how they did that in Only Murders in the Building.
Yes.
Because I feel like Mabel's sexuality, like in season one... I'm not going to say that there were not vibes. Like, listen, we all got vibes from Mabel and her best friend in the flashback scenes, right?
Like,
but there was never it. Like, I feel like you could have done a should have been gay on season one,
yes.
You know, and season two, they just like pivot that right around into like, and now I'm kissing Cara Delevingne. And you're like, and you never really commented on this at all. Like, so season one is all about like, oh, it will she won't she and Oscar, there's these sparks from when they were young and whatever, and then Oscar just like whoop,
disappears,
like, out the door. Like just out of the picture, isn't even in season two, and then all of a sudden there's this like hot young artist and you're just like, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Like season, and the first episode of the season when I'm like, and now kiss. Like, they meet, and I was like, kiss, 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 kiss. Yep. There's obviously sparks flying. And I didn't actually think that they would. And then they, like, immediately go there, and they immediately go there and just, like, brush it aside as being, like, not even a thing, you know? Like,
well, and I love, too, like, how I'm, like, Martin Short. I'm, like, what's his name in the thing? But, like, it's just, like, all the kids are bi. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, don't worry about it. Like, it's not a thing. So it
and
is
he's
just,
right.
Yeah, yeah, and he's correct.
And he's not wrong.
Yes, like, he is correct.
It's accurate.
Everyone is queer.
Everyone is queer. Everyone under age 20, for sure. I mean, come on. But that's why I love it. Like, it was just very, like, not a thing, not a big deal. They didn't spend, it wasn't like you had to watch Mabel be like, a girl, do I have feelings for a girl? What would this mean about me? How would my elderly male podcast co-hosts feel about this? Like, no, I mean, it was just, like, not even addressed at all. They're just like, and now we're dating. And you're like, okay.
Cool. I am just loving this trend for TV. I just feel like this is how I want it to be, that, like, the majority of the stories on our screen include queer people in the same way that they would include a straight person, that, like, you're never like, and I have to come out as straight. And that also, I think, brings us into Umbrella Academy, because in Umbrella Academy, so Elliot Page came out as trans, and we were like, what's gonna happen with Umbrella Academy?
Yeah.
Because, like, he was not playing a trans character in season two, right? Yeah.
And Netflix came out early on saying that they were going to work that into the show. And I think no one really knew what that was going to mean, you know?
Yeah. And I just feel like it was the same thing where they, like, one episode, Elliot Page's character is like, I'm Victor now. It's who I've always been.
Great.
And, like,
love it.
Every sibling has a little bit of a different reaction. So, like, we do get a few different ways that they're responding to that. But all of the ways are supportive, first of all. Like, none of the ways are like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
the how only will one, you ever have a family?
Yeah. The only one that, like, takes a little bit longer is Luther, just because Luther is so slow. But it's
because
he, like, is like, wait, what? And then it's like, okay, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, so I also really liked how they did it, where it was like, I'm Victor. That's all you need to know. Like, this is who I've always been. You're going to, like, that's it. And they're like, okay, cool. We accept you. And we're going to keep calling you by your correct name, by your proper pronouns. Like, there's not a lot of confusion after that. And then we go into the, keep going into the story. Right. So I love how they did that, because they do make it a point to see Victor as Vanya in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then the transition into Victor. But they also make it, like, a thing that everyone accepts, and it's cool, and does not change anything about where the story goes. And I love it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think they did a good job with that. I don't know. Listeners, let us know what you think about how they handled that. But I thought they did a good job with it. And I appreciate, too, that they did that in general. Right?
Yeah.
Like, because I was concerned. And obviously, I guess they would, like, they wouldn't. But I feel like there was, like, a little bit of concern inside me that they were just going to keep Elliot Page playing Vanya with, like, no changes. And I was like, I don't feel like that feels right.
No. And it's also, it feels like not that long ago that you would have just been like, oh, I guess they'll have to figure out how to, like, write that character off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're, I don't feel like that ever really occurred to people as the likely scenario for what was going to happen. Like, I think there might have been questions of, like, how are they going to handle this, and how will it be treated, you know, and how will the plot incorporate it and stuff like that. But I don't feel like when Elliot came out that there was a lot of expectation that that was going to be, like, the end of the show or the end of that character. You know, it just...
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's important to at least call out the, you know, we have made some strides.
We have made some strides.
Over the years. That's all I'm saying. Okay, what's next? What are we talking about next? Do you want to get into the deep stuff now, so that we leave ourselves some happy stuff to go into?
Yeah, well, I don't know what's happy. Actually, all three of these left are not that happy, but we can talk about, let's talk about Killing Eve first.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Because I don't want to end on that.
I feel like that's clearly the most depressive part of this episode is going to be talking about Killing Eve.
So. Yes, yes. So we have to talk about the Killing Eve finale because as we're talking about how far we've come, Killing Eve, like, I feel like, honestly, like, I feel heavy talking about this.
It's rough. And I know we talked about it a little bit when it happened in this week.
But we have.
But like, can I tell you, I still I have not watched the last season because I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm like, I watched clips throughout it and I watched the ending, but
no.
I can't. I'm not ready yet. I'm like, I don't think I'm actually in a place where I want to do this to myself. There's so much more out there for
honestly,
me right now.
You don't have to. Just don't. Like, you don't have to. But I think the thing that's like so disheartening about it is because we all were at least for me, I'm at a place where I'm like, wow, we've come so far. Like, there's no way they're gonna end this in a way that like brings us back 25 fucking years. Like, when was the big barrier gaze? What year was that?
The worst one was Clexa, and that was 2016, is that right?
2016, yes. Okay, so I'm like, bring us back 6 years, let's say, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, but Clexa was bad because it felt reminiscent of, you know, the decade earlier and like the aughts heydays of just like, oh, character's gay, better kill him off in 3 episodes after sweeps week, you know? Like, yeah. I mean, it's just.
And I still like this Killing Eve is not a happy show. I understand that. Like, people die all the time. But it still just felt like they were like, let's take a roadmap of barrier gaze and follow it exactly and pat ourselves on the back. Like, look, we really did something cool here.
Yeah.
By following this trope that's so harmful.
The trope again. Was so harmful. It was so unnecessary, and it was so wildly out of touch with the show as the show had existed for so many seasons. Like, that's not the story of your show. And it was, oh man, it was out of touch. The writer's room and showrunner's response to it
was horrible.
Was horrible and was even more out of touch and was like, felt kind of downright like almost antagonistic to queer communities in ways. Like, I'm sorry, but having your showrunner be like, oh, and then Eve like bursts out of the water where you just watched like, watching Eve like where you just watched Villanelle get shot and then get these like blood angel wings in the water. And now Eve bursts forth and lets loose a cry of freedom because now she's free from this whole story. And you're like, what
in the world are you living in?
What in the fuck? Like that, it's basically like being like, hey, let's add some biblical imagery to our it's just a phase kind of wrap up of this show. And you were like, what just happened in your brain? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, I cannot imagine. What is going cannot imagine being in that writer's room because I feel like before the finale, too, they were literally like, we're so excited about the finale. We love it. God. Like, you're going to freak out. Over, like, you know what I mean? They were like so proud of it, too. Like, that's the thing that like wrecks me is like, they were so, they thought they had nailed it. They thought they crushed it. And I'm like, what the fuck were you thinking?
If you asked me to like engineer a scenario that could have been more harmful to the queer fans of that show, I don't think I could.
No.
Like, I honestly don't think I could have thought of anything that harmful and badly done and like over the top, like spiteful to gays to watch. It was hideous.
That's the thing where I'm just
it
like,
was hideous. Like
we obviously like endings are tough. Okay. Endings are tough in general, right? Every great show, like there's so many great shows that like people hate the finale, right? Like no shit. But I agree. It's like I could have been like, okay, like maybe they kill her, but they both die together. Oh, crazy. Like, okay, like, I hate that they died, but whatever. Or maybe, like, Eve ends up killing Villanelle, and, like, then she has, like, agency over, like, this toxic relationship. And I don't want her to kill Villanelle, but do you know what I mean? Like, everything about it was, like, Eve was, like, both of them were finally in a happy place. And then just ripped to shreds.
Okay. I feel like the only thing that I could think of to, like, make that finale worse is if you had, like, some, like, very posh, like, elderly British woman at the end, like, walk past and, like, point at Villanelle in the water and be like, yeah, dykes. Like, that's what you get. Like, that's, like, the only, like, could you make it worse? Yeah. Like, how could you make it more homophobic? I don't think you could.
You couldn't.
Like,
you
don't think you could.
You
right?
literally couldn't.
It's bad. It's so bad. Yeah. It was just Okay, I feel like that's all I can say and talk about it.
That's enough.
Okay, let me talk to... What do you think is sad about the other two, though? I feel like I have nothing but good things to say.
About Yellow Jackets in the Wilds? I'm just saying, yes. Like, both of those shows are, like, people stranded on an island. So on one of them, people eat each other. Like, I don't think that's
dude.
Yippee! Happy!
And it's incredible. Let's talk about how great it is.
It is great. I'm just saying, it cracks me up that you're like, yeah, let's end on a really high note.
Okay, let's start with Yellow Jackets first, which, like, look, again, not to say that, like, we made a podcast musical with, like, the coolest fucking cast ever, but like, we've already talked about Vico and how they're killing it on Our Flag Means Death, so, like, let's also talk about Jasmine and how she is fucking killing it in Yellow Jackets and in everything she does.
I will say, first of all, queer reppin' Yellow Jackets, love it, obsessed.
Love it.
Jasmine's older version is married with a child. Like,
yeah.
Going, like, basically,
she possibly ate a dog, but, like, listen.
Whatever. But, like, about to be in power. Like, we do have, like, a strong... fucked up,
yeah,
emotionally tortured, but a strong lesbian lead character, right?
Yeah.
We do have, I believe, I would say some barrier gays. Because some gays die. In yellow jackets.
Wait, with who?
Well, this is my head canon. But you know who. Sorry if anyone's seen it. You know who I'm talking about, Lee.
You're headcanoning her as gay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's fair. I'll give you that one. Okay, sure.
Even though, like, not actually. But
are we somehow that's the spoiler that's too far? We've talked about every single plot point of every other show
but
in here.
No,
but you're like,
I just feel like
she freezes to death.
No, don't say it. But yeah, I feel like
you can bleep it out. I'll make you bleep it out.
Jackie, I'll just say it. Jackie, queer as hell, and she died.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, there was something happening there.
There was something happening there. But yeah. Love Yellow Jackets too for the fact that it's just like a bunch of women who pretty much are all in love with each other, like in varying degrees of whatever. Like Misty, I feel like, is in love with.
I mean, Misty's chaotic bisexual for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's no
like,
chance. Come on.
Christina Ricci, like just queer as hell. Like you can't have Christina Ricci in anything and like have it not have queer energy.
I feel like Christina Ricci, just Misty in general in that show, Misty extends the gay trope of like, do I want to be her or do I want to kiss her by only adding or do
kill
I
her?
Want to eat her to the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Truly like, hitting the gay trifecta right on the head, Misty. Like, nailed it.
Fuck, marry, eat. Yes, love it.
I'm dead. I'm just you. That.
Oh my god. But yeah, so we have a lot of great queer rep in Yellow Jackets, like a lot. And I feel like Jasmine's spearheading that shit. Like, also the fact that a lot of the actors in it are actually queer in real life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, you have that lived experience, even if they might not have the lived experience of being stranded on an island and eating all their friends, like the queerness really comes through, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh, love that, man. About Yellow Jackets. Cannot wait for the next season. Yeah. Also, just like
fuck, marry, eat. I want that on a shirt.
Yellow Jackets. Fuck, marry, eat. What was I just going to say? I also feel like for most of these shows too, the success of these shows makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that like I feel like Yellow Jackets was a really well received, really highly watched show and features a lot of queer storylines. Yeah.
Plus, okay, here's the other thing. Yellow Jackets to me is another fun contrast show to First Kill. Because
it's good.
Yes. Yes. Because here's the thing. Because it is also chaotic and campy and like bonkers, but in a way that is taking itself more seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like I do think there is value in having
both, all of it. Yeah, yeah.
Right? In seeing the difference between a show where you're like, oh, it's like campy and chaotic, but like in an artsy, more serious way that's like more invested in like the narrative and the like
character development
of it and the right.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that is a completely different type of show than First Kill.
Yes.
Right? Like, and that doesn't necessarily make it not valuable. Like,
yes,
they're both valuable in very different ways, because sometimes you're in the mood for Yellow Jackets and sometimes you're like, I just want like a pint of ice cream and like just nonsense. Like,
yes,
just nonsense. And that's when First Kill comes in.
Yeah, speaking like, of like being in the mood, like it definitely took a lot out of me to sit and watch Yellow Jackets.
I know it did, because I know how much it took me to get Kelsey to watch it with me, because it's like, that's not her type of show, right? Like, it's a little too real.
Dark.
And serious.
Yeah.
And like spookier for her, whereas like I didn't have to fight Kelsey at all to watch First Kill, right?
Yeah, because it's
and I'm
ridiculous.
Like, if you ask me, like, which one would I prefer to sit and watch, like, sometimes, like, I'm gonna way more lean towards the Yellow Jackets in the same way that, like, for some reason, the Haunting shows were, like, my comfort shows throughout the pandemic. Like, why? Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, you're like,
but then other times, I'm like, listen, I just want to watch gay Romeo and Juliet, like, make out up against their wall, and that's it. Like, nothing. I don't want to think too hard.
Room for
I don't want to be looking for clues. just want to watch you bone against a peach tree. Why is that so hard to understand?
Yes. Like, you know what I was thinking of? This is not. Like, so we have, like, First Kill that's, like, more, like, teen soap opera, I feel like, vibe. Did we have any good gay reality TV this year?
Oh, Lesbians?
Like, oh, Tampa Bay's that I never watched. Because I feel like everyone hated it.
I didn't watch it. So, I don't know. If someone watched it, please tell us what you thought.
Yeah,
and whether we
let us know. Because, yeah.
We'll trust you. We'll trust you.
Let us know, because I feel like that's the other thing that, like, we're missing a little bit. It's like, I feel like we do need a bit more, like, trashy reality TV, because I've been watching, this is so random, but not. I've been watching F-Boy Island. Do you know that show? Have you heard of it?
No.
F-Boy Island is basically these three girls date. There's 13 nice guys and 13 F-boys. And they have to, like, leave the island with a nice guy. And they don't know who's nice and who's an F-boy, blah, 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 whatever. It's so ridiculous. But I'm like, how great would a lesbian version of that be? Because you know you have, like, someone, a queer woman who, like, looks like an F-boy but is so sweet and kind. And then, like, there's, like, maybe this queer
woman. Shanes. Just a dozen Shanes on a TV show.
Yeah, like, 13 Shanes. Just trying to
something visceral just happened in my body just now thinking about it. Oh no.
I would love it.
I hate it, but I would watch the shit out of it. Let's be real.
Oh, the show is so bingeable. I love it so much.
But we need another season of what's the other one? What's the dating one that
Are You the One? It was so good.
We need another season of that because it was chaotic and I loved it. And that is, like, exactly the kind of trash that you want sometimes. Sometimes we want trash TV.
12 Days of Christmas was good too.
Give us the trash TV. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Can we talk about our other plane crash?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yes. So
fucking loved The Wild season 2. Obsessed.
Well, is it because your headcanon ship was really featured?
Yes. Of course it is.
Can I tell you something? And I'm sorry, listeners. I don't really care that much about Shelby and Tony.
I mean, I love Shelby and Tony. I do. I love, you know what it is? I love Shelby is the problem. I love watching people come into their gayness. Like, as much as I know that we're like, I'm over the coming out stories and it's been there, done that. We've seen it all before, but I still love it. I just love watching characters be like, I don't know. I'm just a little Southern belle, y'all. And I know what the Bible says about the gay and it's not good. And then in like a week, they're just like, I would die for this girl. And you're like, yeah.
And you're like, Sounds right.
I'll
Sounds
never right. not love her. And you're like, I feel you, Shelby. We've all been there. We know, hon.
I'm here for it, though, because I want to have so much gay shit on my TV that, like, I can be like, don't really like this couple. Like, I want to be able to be like, okay, so I like 11 out of 12. you know, like, I want to have a couple that I'm like, I don't have to root for you just because you're queer. Like, so that's my thing for me. And I'm sorry if everyone's going to come for me, but... I don't know what it is.
Come on. She cut all her hair off in a fit of gay emotion. Like, that's that good gay shit, Ellie. Come on.
I think, too, because it's like tone. I feel like some people like that, like, oh, like, she's emotionally unavailable, but, like, she's available for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I am with you on that I'm like, I feel like the reason I have a hard time with Shelby and Tony is that I'm like, Shelby, I get it. And this is, like, your first gay relationship and you're, like, whole heart in it right now. But, like, also, Tony's kind of a mess. And, like, say you do get off the island.
Yeah.
Lots of lesbians out there, Shelby. Yeah. Lots of lesbians out there.
And, like, Tony, I feel like, is sometimes mean to Shelby, too, in a way.
Yeah, she's terrible.
Like, so I'm like, I don't know how much I like that. But
listen, I'm gonna give him a chance in season 3. I'm certainly here for it. But let's be real. Because here's the problem. In season 1, I could not get as much behind Leah and Fatten because I didn't like Leah in season 1. Because you didn't know, right? And And listen, I will still maintain that anyone that was super here for Leah in season one, like, why? Right? Like, because all they're showing you is the stuff that you're supposed to believe is, like, a deluded, weird teenager infatuated with, like, a 30-year-old man. Yeah, and you shouldn't be here for that. It's weird and sad. And that's why the twist in season two was so
good.
Amazing. And because as soon as they do that, and then they've spent the whole season basically being like, Leah and Fenton are very much in love with each other's faces all the time. Oh my god, look at these two being in love with each other. Here they are. And then having the whole payoff of like, and she then like plays everyone like a fiddle. And I was like, I love it. I love it. Like, because I'm sorry, but there's no way. There's no way that a show that we know, like, because they have queer people on the writing team in the wilds, right? So I'm like, there's no way that a show that is writing Shelby and Tony and like has an awareness of what they're doing writes the, like, I'll never not love her, like, yeah, ditto, bitch. And you're like,
yeah.
What?
What?
You know what that means. You know what you did here. You know what you do. You know what you just leaned very much into. And if you don't pay off in season three, you know that your entire like viewership is going
will
to
revolt,
like burn you to the ground. Like,
wait, also speaking of like not really paying off, sorry, Grace and Frankie needs to be on this list.
Oh god, Ellie.
And also we have to do a Should Have Been Gay on it, but I just finished the whole series.
How about this? I'll let Kelsey do that episode because she has watched that whole show and I can't bring myself to watch it.
I love it. I'm obsessed with
so
that show.
I won't say she loves it. I know she enjoys it, and I like, I can't do it because I just can't get behind the husbands. I cannot buy them as gay, and I can't. I just
Well,
every time I
Grace
watch
and
it and
Frankie
try,
are
I'm
gayer
like,
than them.
They are so much gayer.
It's
so
insane.
Much gayer.
It's insane. But yeah,
we'll do a Grace and Frankie episode, and we'll bring Kelsey on, and I'll just sit back.
Honestly, I would love that because I have lots of thoughts. But yeah, like, they need to pay it off. But like, also, if they don't, they won't. But it's okay. I still do feel like,
I like how we're like, recap of all the gayest shows, and you're like, Grace and Frankie should be on this list. No.
No. No.
No.
No.
No, it shouldn't.
No. But my point is, I was going to say, things that I love about a lot of this queer TV is like, okay, you can have more than one queer couple, but like, most of them still only have one queer couple. Okay, The Wilds has one queer couple and one headcanon queer couple.
Lies and hearsay.
And I'm
It's got two. What are you talking about?
But I actually am curious to see if
slander. Slander, Ellie. How
will they
you?
Go for it? Is my point. Like, will they go for it? Or is someone on any like line of production going to be like, two queer couples on this is too many? Because that's the same thing with Yellow Jackets. There's really only one canon queer couple and one canon queer character, right?
Sorry, I'm getting distracted in my own head is what's happening right now.
You're like, Our Flag Means Death is the only one that has like multiple queer.
Yeah,
like,
no,
many queer
totally
characters.
Accurate. I'm only getting distracted because I'm realizing as we were talking about back when we were talking about First Kill and I was saying I love the like fell first, fell harder ship dynamic. Maybe that's why I love Leah Fenton fan fiction so much, because I'm sorry, there
first,
does not
harder,
exist a fan fiction for that ship that is not Leah fell first, Fenton fell harder. Like, that's their only dynamic, and I love it.
I love it.
And I love it so much.
I love
it's great. Listen, that's a good dynamic, people. Lean into that, okay? That's all I'm saying.
I feel like that's like that.
Whether it's in your fan fiction or season three of your show, that's all.
That's all. Lean in. I feel like that's the most. That's all the shit we have to talk about, I think. We had a lot. If there's any other shows that came out in this past year, or we didn't do any movies because usually we cover those in Less Essentials, so we were like, we're not going to cover that right now, but
wait, sorry, I will say we know there is one notable show that we did not include in this list. It's because we do have a dedicated episode coming up in 2 weeks on a little witchy show that you know we know and love. That's all.
Yes.
With a fun guest. That's all I'm saying. We left one off.
We did.
You're going to listen to us talk about nothing but that in 2 weeks.
And we've done already two episodes with people from the cast last season.
Shh. Listen, we love what we love.
We love it. We love it. We love it. But yeah, if there's anything else you want us to check out, please let us know. You can send us an email. You can message us on Instagram or Twitter. We try to see everything, but like, there's only so much we can do.
We're only two professional lesbians, you know?
Listen. We're doing our best to like watch it all and regurgitate what we have seen to you. But all in all, a pretty good year for queer rep.
A pretty good year. You know what else I do want to comment on real quick? Is every single one of these kind of like a streaming service or like a subscription service, right? Because what do we have? I'm just looking down our list. So we have HBO, Netflix, HBO, Amazon, Hulu, Yellow Jackets with Showtime, and Umbrella Academy is Netflix. So listen, I'm just going to say network television, like up your fucking game, okay? Because like, listen, granted, we're going to give Netflix endlessly shit for canceling all our shows. still hasn't renewed First Kill, but at least they're like at least they're trying. At least they give us a season of something to get upset about losing. What network TV? Come on. What are you doing?
Get it together. All right. We are going to head into our Q and gay. Let's do it.
Q and gay. Our first Q and gay of season 6, Ellie.
Cannot wait. Let's freaking do it. All right. I'm going to start. I'll ask you a question, Lee. Here we go. Question number one. What's your favorite type of show? A, vampire. B, pirates. C, period piece. Or D, plane crash?
I mean, listen, this is an attack. It's hard to pick. But I will say, since it covers like two of my favorite shows this past year, I'm going to go with D, plane crash. Because
I knew it.
I'm so here for both of them. Like,
I do feel like plane crash is probably the best lesbian genre we have.
It's what a great premise.
Like, why
crash all those planes?
So good. Like, it's basically batting two for two. Yeah.
I'm here for it.
It's amazing.
Question two, Ellie. Were you okay with the Killing Eve finale? Yes or no?
That's a hard no. That's a no. Not okay.
We'll never be okay.
No. All right. Question number three. Who is your favorite wild ship? A, Shoni, or B, Leighton?
Listen, I love them both, but I am kind of here for Leighton Fatton these days. I can't lie.
We knew you were.
I'm curious to see what season 3 is going to bring for both of them. Let's put it that way. Because Shoni had a rough season too. Like, Tony was in a bad place. You know,
it was tough.
Like, Martha was dying and catatonic, and it's just not a lot of good things happening.
No.
And she's all like, love, now I'm going to be a bitch. And you're like, ugh. Tony. Get it together.
Get it
like,
together.
I know you have trauma, but come on. So yeah. I don't know. Like, they could really pull Shoni around in season 3 for me. But also, if they leaned into Leighton Fatton, like, I would fucking lose it. Let's be real. I think we all would.
You would. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all would.
Question 4, Ellie. Is everyone queer? A, yes. B, yes. Mm-hmm. C, yes. Yep. Or D, all of the above.
All right. Let me think about this. Bum, bum, bum. I'm going to have to say D, all of the above, Alex.
Correct. Correct answer. It's actually who is all of the above.
Yes, who is all of the above. If our TV shows can be believed, it is definitely D, all of the above. So,
and this, I'm here for it.
And this podcast, yes.
It's the world we deserve, honestly.
Ugh, so good. All right, question number 5, Lee. What was your favorite new LGBTQ+ show of 2022? A, First Kill. B, Our Flag Means Death. C, Yellow Jackets. Or D, Heartstopper?
Oh, man. Listen, I have to go with Yellow Jackets. I just do. And not only because I love Jasmine, although I do love
That's
Jasmine.
That's a huge reason, though.
And not only because I love Christina Ricci, although...
And Melanie Lynskey.
Well, that's who I was going to go next. Although I do love Christina Ricci. And not only because... but also I love Melanie Lynskey. And not only because it got so many Emmy nominations, but also it got so many Emmy nominations.
Because you love Juliette Lewis.
Yes. Oh, my God. How could I have forgotten? Yes. Correct. All correct reasons. I do. I'm like, I am very here for like a slightly spooky, like kind of mysterious, lots of question marks. Who's wearing antlers? Who got eaten? No one even knows. And it's gay. And I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Check all of my boxes, please. So, yeah, I think it's Yellow Jackets. I was a big fan.
It's Yellow Jackets for me, too, even though, like, emotionally it took a lot out of me. Like, it just is such a fucking good show. It's just so, like, it's so well done. so well acted and agreed. Like, anything that Jasmine is in, I will wholeheartedly watch.
Listen, my follow up is just Jasmine's music video.
Sounds right.
Sold.
Remember, everyone, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you, and we love building this community, so we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode, and we want to start with a shout out to one of our listeners, Maggie, who I think we've shouted out before, but also just messaged us again, keeping us up to date on all the ins and outs of finally dating women. And so listen, we just want to say, A, love that for you, Maggie. We're
so
thrilled.
Excited.
Glad it's going well. And B, if you also, you know, do you just need like some dating relationship advice? Do you just want to tell us about the cute date you just went on with a girl? Like, yes, please send us all of them. That.
Honestly,
DM us, email us, whatever. We want it.
Because, yeah, Maggie messaged us and I'll keep all the information private, but like asking for some dating advice. And then I sent her some stuff back and I felt so good to be like, oh, like I know things.
Like, yes. And then you get to hear how it went. And it's just like, that's our dream. That's the dream.
It's very exciting.
Send us that.
So yes, you can send it to us. We promise we will keep what you say to us anonymous, but we still like talking to you. We love it.
Also, it makes us so much happier than the absolute garbage fire that some of you saw what it's like to try to promote posts on Facebook. So like, listen, sometimes you pay to get your posts out there on Facebook and what you get instead is a whole bunch of like conservative right-wing bullshit like responses of like vomit emojis. And like it's nightmarish, and then you have to waste time paying to go through and block and delete all of this stuff. And of course there's just an endless wellspring of it, so you can't ever keep up with it. But it did make us happy how many people responded to the story where we posted that, you know, just commiserating with how ridiculous it is and the dumpster fire that trying to maintain a queer presence on social media is these days.
Yeah.
So
we're doing our best.
Thanks to everyone. It just at least made us feel like there's more of you out there who, you know, like
who are doing the opposite of vomiting.
Doing the opposite. Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. So just that lifted us up a little bit. Thank you, because it does suck sometimes.
Yes. And on a lighter note, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons who always support us, other than those stupid people on Facebook. Starting with Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rosashino,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons,
Amy and Ellen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Leah Henley.
Thank you all so much for your constant support. And just as a reminder to all of you, we are going to be starting to put Patreon bonus episodes out. So if you've been supporting us for a long time, it's time you get some extra content. And if you want to join now, now is the time.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also are posting videos on our YouTube channel, and you can subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
If you want to support the podcast, the easiest way to do that is to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate the feedback, and it helps other people find the show.
If you want to support us financially and get access to our special new Patreon bonus episodes, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon. You get access to our watch parties and our Discord chat, which is one of our favorite places.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can get that at bit.ly/lesshop. Season 6 is the perfect time to re-up and just say, you know what? I love Les Hangout. I want a shirt. I want a mug. Let's get it.
Remember, we also have a queer production company. We are making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings. And you can find us everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or you can find us at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all the episodes of our first show, The Flame. It's up on any podcasting app, and that will help you prepare for our live show coming up on September 15th at 54 Below in New York.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.